remember me. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Luke 23, verse 42. In an herb garden, one can find among those who enjoy herbs also those who want to prepare poison from them. Thus some people also want to derive poison from the wealth of Scripture, which contains hidden honey. They wanted to do that from the story of the murderer at the cross, and they still want to do it. Those who refuse to perform the service of active obedience to their God have said, with an appearance of justice, that this murderer sought his shelter in Christ at the end of his life. Thus, they say, it is still possible to flee to God when one is going to close the ice. And what use then are all those commandments for those in the company of the living? Thus they removed the murderer from his terrible cross and made him a model of decoration on the couch of antinomian slackness and unwillingness. But today we live in the time of antinomians, in the domain of thoughts. There are those, again with an appearance of justice, who refuse to give their God the service of obedient thoughts. And they say, that murderer heard the door of paradise opening up for himself, while he did not know of any creeds or confessions of the church. And look, he did not wear out his brains about doctrines and confessions. What is the use of all those doctrinal distinctions for those who celebrate the bridal day of God's love? He who takes hold of life and its unity will consider the edicts of the congregation that writes confessions but a desecration and a pollution. And in the warm search of ecstasy, or of delusion, God knows it, they seek the company of the murderer, who, of course, is not able to contradict them to their face, and say to him, we want to be your brothers. We want to be your brothers in impotence, your brothers in the lack of understanding, in only the feeling, praying, and dying under the eyes of Jesus. Now may God forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Truly, they do not know it. Are they, who speak thus, not often among the people who cannot say 10 words without the word excitement coming upon their lips? If you hear them, you have to see them. They are always very excited. Theirs is, according to their own confession, the excitement of life. But from their own mouth they can be judged. For he who makes no easy way out of the excitement of life may say to them, if you truly feel in your heart the things you proclaim, then each day is for you just as critical as the last day of the murderer. Was he in a crisis? Yet he who speaks of the excitement of life lives every moment in a crisis. Did the murderer use the proverb now or never? Yet he who is chased by God and also very excited says it even today, says it even now. Excited spirits are like the murderer. They always live with the idea of now or never, all or nothing. With them it is always a time of distress. Each word of God is for them an ultimatum. And the most desperate extremity, they are always in it. They walk to the grave with it. They are always as the murderer. Lord, I am dying, and thou, Lord, how long? Thus they who profess to have examples of excitement of life within themselves do not know what they do. They do not know what they do when they use the murderer in defense of their doctrines of dogmatic indifference, of the glorification of life, while putting aside the seal of God in the doctrines. For that murderer, this man in his most extreme necessities, did accept exactly as much as he was able to bear at that moment. He accepted it with his bleeding brains, even fighting against his failing understanding, exactly as much as he was able to accept and bear of the truth, also the intellectually accepting of the truth about Jesus Christ. He spoke of the kingdom, and that Jesus would come into that kingdom. Thus he attached himself to what was preached to him about Jesus. It was preached to him in the rumors that had penetrated via the multitudes, from the trial of Jesus, from the things cried out by the leaders of the people, and from the description above Jesus' head. Pay attention to the wrestling of his brain concerning the formulation, the correct address, and the orderly summary of what he had learned about his fellow crucified one. He considered exactly as much as he was able to do. And he connected the concept of the intercession and the position as priest to that of kingship. In the fact that the Jews before Caiaphas ridiculed Christ's prophetic office by saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck thee?" And in that the Romans before Pilate made a caricature of Christ's kingship by a crown of thorns and a reed in his right hand, both groups neglected his priesthood. For they did not even come that far. But a murderer brought the priestly elements to the fore. Remember me, be my intercessor. How did he know that? Do you think that this was a fake understanding? Scripture says that this was a terrible wrestling in his brains. For this man, whose blood was already flowing away, and whose eyes and whose head, oh that head, this man connected himself to the very last things of what he had seen in Christ and heard of him. The last things he saw of Christ was that he was intercessor. The murderer heard that he said, "Father, forgive them." And to the opening up of his own heart, the murderer held on to Jesus Christ. He attached himself to the self-revelation of the Christ. And he accepted the broadest report, that of Jesus' kingship, and also the last one, his status as mediator. And that last obtained knowledge he transferred into a prayer. For him, the labor caused by the multitude of thoughts to the one formulation of kingship, and a hankering for what was current, came to the last, highest, and clearest revelation, the status as mediator. He paid careful attention to the people and their speaking, Christ's kingship, and also considered the act of revelation of Christ himself, his status as mediator. Thus, he proved his life excitement by his efforts, also in his thinking. And he bore exactly as much as he was able. And he accepted, also with his understanding, the full burden of revelation, as far as it was forced upon him. Whoever now wants to portray that praying murderer on the reverse of the title page of his essay about dogmatic indifference, has crucified him a second time. But Christ found him in paradise. He had only been able to bear very little, but he had been faithful in that little, also in intellectual faithfulness. For he had understood that when God comes, all that is offered should be accepted. And this is the Christianity of excited souls. It has also become for them the thoughtful exercise of the religion of extreme necessities.